Food Today, science-based information on food, nutrition and safety. From UFIC, the European Food Information Council.
During the Food Allergy and Anaphylaxis meeting, which was held in Nice, France, from the 7th to the 9th of February 2013, threshold levels and effective avoidance of food allergens was discussed. In this podcast, Dr. Josephine Wills, Director General of UFIC, interviewed Dr. Geert Hoben, Business Line Manager for Food Safety at TNO in the Netherlands. The discussion focused on precautionary food allergen labelling, the science underpinning the establishment of action levels, and the work ongoing in Europe on these issues.
My name is Geert Hoben. I'm Business Line Manager Food Safety at TNO. TNO is a big research and technology organization in the Netherlands. Our task is really to help translating research into applied research for industry, authorities and society as a whole.
Why should we communicate about allergens in a product, and when should we be communicating that?
I think most people will know that allergens in food can be quite dangerous for people allergic to it. The allergic reaction may vary from mild reactions, but there are situations where allergic reactions can be very severe and even life-threatening or fatal. So communicating about the presence of allergens in food is very important.
We often see phrases like may contain on food labels. What does that mean?
It's used by industry to warn consumers for the possible unintended presence of allergens in food. And I think that delivering this kind of information has become a lot more important since we introduced legislations in Europe, but also in other areas of the world, that says that if an allergen is used as an ingredient in food, that the presence of this allergen should be mentioned on the label. This works quite well for allergens that are deliberately added to food as an ingredient, but allergens can also end up in food unintentionally. For instance, because a raw material or an ingredient has become contaminated anywhere in the chain of food production, or if food is produced on food production facility or in a facility where the day before an allergen has been handled, then that allergen can end up in the food unintentionally. That's basically where these warnings come from.
What allergen levels should trigger precautionary may contain labeling?
You should, in consultation with stakeholders, agree on what level of protection you want with allergens in food. We must accept that there will always be a risk. The question is, what risk is tolerable or acceptable? And in my view, that is something that needs to be established in discussion among all stakeholders that are involved in this issue.
So what do you think is an accepted residual risk level? I mean, is there a specific figure that you can put on it?
I can refer to a process that we've gone through in Australia and New Zealand, where the Allergen Bureau has developed a guidance for a precautionary labelling of allergens that originates from 2007, but during the past few years they have revised this voluntary incidental trace allergen labelling, as they call it, VITAL. During that process of revision, they established a scientific advisory board, and I was happy to be a member of that. That advisory board discussed with patient organizations and industry this matter of balance and trying to find what level of protection is feasible from a scientific and technical point of view and would be acceptable for clinicians, dietitians, and of course for the food allergic individuals or consumer organizations. We said if we would accept a risk of mild allergic reactions in 1% of the allergic population, that would be quite protective for the allergic population as a whole, and that was also the feedback we got from allergy consumer organizations from Australia. From a scientific point of view, we were able to calculate safe levels of allergens that comply with that 1% risk and action levels for precautionary labeling in food products that could be measured with analytical methods. So from a practical point of view, scientific point of view, and from a consumer point of view, that 1% residual risk seemed to be a very good starting point for developing quantitative guidance.
So what exactly is an action level then?
An action level is meant to be a concentration of an allergen in a food product that should trigger precautionary labeling. So if you have a food product and an allergen may be present, but the presence will be below this action level, then it is advised not to use a precautionary labeling because the risk is that small that this such warning would not have any added value. If you have a food product in which the concentration of an allergen could be above this action level, then it's advised to use a precautionary statement.
So broadly speaking, how are these action levels actually derived?
Using risk of mild allergic reactions in 1% of the allergic population, we looked at the distribution of sensitivities of allergic individuals in the population. We collected information of allergic individuals, males, females, children, adults, and on the basis of those sensitivity distributions, we calculated what dose of allergen would not result in a higher risk than 1% of the allergic individuals. So that's what we call reference doses. That's step one, but you need another step because in the food we are usually talking not about doses but about concentrations of allergens. So we also needed to translate those doses that comply with a maximum risk of 1% into a concentration in the food. And for that you need to apply food consumption information. So on the basis of the maximum amount of an allergen that somebody may get, you need to estimate how much food is eaten, and based on that food consumption you can calculate the maximum concentration of an allergen in such a food product.
So the amount that somebody consumes and the portion sizes they're consuming is very important in this. Does the risk go up with the amount that they eat or go down?
That's the terribly confusing point because it's always very difficult to understand the influence of the consumption choice that you make. Because usually you think, well, when somebody eats more, the risk becomes higher. But in establishing action levels for labeling, it's the other way around. If you assume a very small proportion of food, then you say, okay, the concentration of allergen may be quite high. And if the concentration of the allergen is higher, so the action level becomes higher, the risk becomes higher. So it's important that if you are establishing a safe level, then underestimating the consumption will result in higher standards or higher action levels, and higher action levels will result in higher risks. So it's always crucial not to underestimate the consumption when you establish standards.
So when you've got these action levels, how do you then validate them?
It's important that once you have calculated an action level, that you check it. So we assume a scenario where food is contaminated at the action level, and we do a real risk assessment to calculate what is the risk of an allergic reaction. If we started with 1% residual risk as a starting point, the outcome of the risk assessment should be a risk of about 1%. And if the risk that we calculate in the end is higher, then it is an indication that we took a wrong food consumption assumption.
So what work's being done in Europe regarding reference doses and action levels?
In Europe, we are working towards following the same approach as has been developed in Australia and New Zealand by the Allergen Bureau. Especially there is an expert panel of ILSI Europe. ILSI is the International Life Sciences Institute that is a scientific body organized by industry to address scientific questions and to find solutions for difficult issues. And they established an expert panel that is also looking at the possibilities for developing a quantitative guidance for precautionary labeling. And well, I'm happy to be a member of that expert panel as well. And this expert panel decided that the approach that was developed in Australia and New Zealand was a good approach and that we should follow that. The expert panel decided to do some independent analysis of this approach, and in September of last year a big international conference was organized by several partners in collaboration among various branches of the ILSI organization. But the basic question was, do we agree that approach that has been developed by Vital and which has been continuing by the expert panel of ILSA Europe, do we agree that we are far enough with scientific information at this moment to develop this guidance and not to wait any longer? All the stakeholders unanimously agreed that this is, should be the approach and that we should carry on this way. And my personal hope is that not only Europe, but all continents will follow on this approach. Food industry is an international industry, and we should work towards a worldwide harmonization in this way.
So by establishing these action levels, what will be the benefits to the consumer? What will they see?
Once we have these reference doses and action levels, and we harmonize among various industries, various countries, and it will protect hopefully about 99% of the allergic individuals. We are pretty sure that the percentage protected is higher because we made some worst case assumptions in the approach. Allergic individuals, once well educated on how this is done and how they should interpret that information, will improve their personal management of their condition in comparison to the current situation.
So there would be less precautionary labelling, less may contain labelling.
The aim is not so much a reduction of the precautionary warning, but a better correlation of the presence or absence of a warning with the actual risk associated with the product.
And more consumer confidence?
Of course, that in the end, better food choice options for food allergic individuals and indeed confidence in precautionary labelling.
And what would be the benefits of these action levels for the food industry?
I think that the benefit for them is also very big because at this moment, most food producers are working to the best of their knowledge, but because there's no harmonization, they all make their own choices in precautionary labeling. But this is not consistent. It varies among industries, sometimes even among people within an industry. And once there is a harmonized guidance, a best practice, which is agreed upon by stakeholders all over the world, then it also gives a very good benchmark for industry. And if, despite of that, something may go wrong and somebody gets an allergic reaction and an industry can explain, yes, something can go wrong, but we really did everything you could expect from us to do to prevent this.
Food Today. Science-based information on food, nutrition and safety. From UFIC, the European Food Information Council.